Well, I've been doing, anybody have the Bible app? And you do the daily readings and they have devotions on there. Well, I've been doing that and came across some interesting verses in my this last week. And I want to start off my message today with that. Psalm 39 in verse 4. I don't know if it's you read it and you're encouraged. I know it's the Word and God's got good things there, but it was kind of just hit me a little bit. Psalm 39, verse 4 goes like this. Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. We need a reminder of that. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath. I think the King James, New King James uses vapor. We are merely moving shadows, and all our busy rushing ends in nothing. We heap up wealth, not knowing how we will spend it. And so, Lord, where do I put my hope? My only hope is in you. And that's, I guess that's the encouraging part. My only hope is in God. We have to trust God through it all. But, you know, I'm getting a little older. Susie's got a birthday today, and, you know, and you, as you get older, in a certain age, I don't know what that age is, but you start thinking about your days here, and, you know, and your days are shorter than they used to be. But it does seem like, and of course a lot of people witness with this, as you get older, it just seems like time goes by faster. You have the same clock and same hours, but same seconds, but it just seems like it goes faster. I don't really know the reason for that. And so where I'm at in my life, you know, we're all at different places. I guess I've been thinking a lot about legacy. Do you think about legacy? Well, you can't think about it if you don't know what it is, so let me tell you what it is. A legacy is what you leave behind for the next generation. It's what you pass on. It's what you hand down. And we often might talk about that. You know, I do a lot of funeral services and memorial services, and that's one of the things that we talk about is a legacy of that person. And so what they passed on to the next generation. Now, I know you've heard this before, you know, somewhere along the way, and it's kind of catchy and, you know, a little different, but, you know, someone talking about the importance of the dash. Have you heard that? I know you have. And so you look at the gravestone, and it has the day we're born, right? Then the dash, and then the day that you die, the person dies. And the question is, what are you going to do with the dash, meaning your life? What are you going to do to impact the world? Or if you're a believer, what are you going to do to impact this world for Jesus Christ during that dash? Now, a legacy wouldn't be the dash on your tombstone. The legacy would be the dash for other people. It's impacting their dashes, so to speak, other people's lives. And that's, again, hard to quantify. It's hard to, you know, understand that. And you won't know about it until you get to heaven, until eternity. You really got to trust God that He knows what He's doing. Because sometimes you feel like you have those days you don't feel like you're making any impact. Or maybe you feel like you're going backwards. And so you really have to trust Him as you follow Him, that there's going to be a legacy. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, you being famous. I don't know if that's what the Lord has for you. You know, if you can Google your name and find this big write-up about your life. There's a whole lot of people that have an amazing legacy that have no write-up. And there's others that have a really big write-up, but really their legacy as far as eternity isn't very big. So it's not about really what other people think or what they know. It's all it has to do with God. And you want to have the legacy that He has for you. And I know that God's made everybody here to have a life that impacts others. Everybody here is significant. If you're in Christ, I mean, you've been made for something wonderful, whether anybody else thinks that or knows that. I mean, you are God's, and if you fulfill that race and that purpose that he has for you, it's something amazing. And God just deals with time in a different way. Let's look at Isaiah 46, verse 9. It's a little deep after camp to have this kind of message today, but that's okay. Just follow the Holy Spirit. Going somewhere with all this. Isaiah 46, verse 9. I'm going to read this from the Message. Paraphrase here. Remember your history, your long and rich history. I am God, the only God you've had or ever will have, incomparable, irreplaceable, from the very beginning telling you what the ending will be, all along letting you in on what's going to happen, assuring you, I'm in this for the long haul. I'll do exactly what I set out to do. So God looks at the end from the beginning. Isn't that something? He looks at the finish line first before he starts. And then he's kind of letting us in on the future. He gives us bits and pieces and different glimpses. And, you know, he talks, I think, in Jeremiah, but, you know, before I formed you, I knew you. I mean, he's got this, and then Jeremiah talks about, for I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, plans to give you a hope and a future, not plans to harm you. And so he's got this amazing vision for our lives, purpose, destiny. I like that word, destiny. Each one of us, he's got this amazing destiny for your life. And, you know, and what happens, you know, during these amazing moments, like at camp or on the mission field or maybe a church service or prayer time, is like sometimes you just see destiny. Maybe you'll see your destiny and it's like, wow. And then sometimes it sets in, it's like the enemy tries to come immediately to steal the word and doesn't want you to fulfill. He's doing all he can to steal, kill, and destroy your destiny, your purpose. That's why there's this big fight with things. That's why life is just not like walking through it, and to follow God is just easy, you know. It is a battle. Now God, the good news is God's won the battle. The good news is we read the back of the book, we win. The good news is Jesus is coming again. And whether we're here on this earth or whether we're in the grave, we're going to rise to meet him in the air. That's amazing. That's truth. So a good question today as we're talking about legacy is, and so if God talks about the end from the beginning, what do you want the end of your life to look like? Now, I know, you know, young people, that's just so far away. But we got some other folks, it's a little closer. Maybe you're thinking about it a lot. I'll be 55. I'm 54 right now. Thinking about more than I did when I was 20 or 30 or even 40. So what do you want the end of your life to look like? Now, I think the Apostle Paul says it well. And let's look over in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Y'all still out there? Have I just sucked all the joy out of the everything? 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom. Preach the word of God. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desire and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. So Paul is near the end of his life, and he's talking about the race that he's run, and he's, in his opinion, I believe it's God's, but his opinion is he's run the race well. He's finished his race. And so I was just thinking about Paul's legacy, and this is by no means an exhaustive list, but let's talk about Paul's legacy for just a minute. And it'll good and it'll help you with you if you're thinking about your legacy, what you want your legacy to look like. Paul's got it as a good example for us. First of all, he was obedient to the heavenly vision. God gave him a heavenly vision of reaching the Gentiles with the gospel. And he was obedient to that vision. And God's got a vision for each one of us. He remained faithful to God. He loved God and to those to whom were entrusted to him. The Apostle Paul was a man of love. He's the one that wrote 1 Corinthians 13. It was probably one of the most amazing chapters in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 13, talking about God's agape love. He stayed with the Word of God and sound doctrine. That's not always easy. Especially in the hour that we're living in, a lot of error and false teaching and different, you know, false doctrines. And Paul stayed with it, stayed with the Word of God, and stayed with sound doctrine. He kept his hope in the second coming of Jesus. And we don't talk about that a lot. We need to talk about it more. But they had a hope. They were expecting his coming. And when you're expecting his coming, you just live differently. You have a different kind of expectancy. You think about things in a different way. If, you know, am I ready? Am I prepared for his coming? I think, you know, believers in times past, I'm talking about here in the West, I think had more of a reverence and a more of a thinking about that second coming, lived their lives accordingly. Paul had a passion to help start and establish churches. All these letters to these different churches, and he watched over them like a father or a mother and his children, you know, warning, rebuking, correcting, instructing, encouraging, all he could to establish and develop these churches. He wrote letters in 2/3 of the New Testament, inspired by the Holy Spirit to encourage and to instruct. And then the last one, again, this isn't exhaustive here, but this is a good list here. The last one is he passed his life on. And, you know, we are really a result of his legacy, not just Paul, but other disciples. He passed his legacy, especially on to Timothy and to Silas and to others. Now, here at Good News Church, we want to help you find your purpose and fulfill it, as we believe that you have a unique, amazing destiny, and all that we do here is we want to help you find that and hear from God and walk in that. I mean, that's where the most satisfying life is. We want to help you grow in your trust for God, grow in your faith, to be aware of the Holy Spirit and His presence and to be led by Him. We want you to be impacted by His love. That's where repentance starts. That's where, you know, all growth in God starts, is being, seeing and understanding the love of the Father. The goodness of God leads to transformation. And when you let that love just saturate you and fill you up, it can't help but overflow in your walk with others. And that's what, you know, agape love is, overflow. And it flows out to your family and your friends and people in your world. He is coming again, and we do want you to be ready for that day. We want you to be part of starting and establishing churches. And I hope that you feel like this is your church and that you feel like you have a part here at Good News Church. And you may not be here for your own whole Christian walk, but while you're here, I hope that it's important for you that this church grows, that this church is established, that this church is strong, and you're doing all in your power to make that happen, or whatever church God has you a part of, because it's important. I don't know if you'll be an author. We already got some authors already here in the building today, but God may have you write some things down and pass it on to other generations. I know Brother Hagin, one of our mentors here, I've got his books, and E.W. Kenyon and others, and read those books, and they're gone, but the legacy of their teaching remains. Still ministers to me, still growing and learning from them. And here we talk about discipleship, and you know that's a big part of CADA is what is a disciple, and being a disciple, and living that out and discipling others. We also want to have that kind of culture here at Good News Church. And every one of us, if you're a follower of Christ, is called to be a disciple. And if you're called to be a disciple, you're to take the charge of Matthew 28 and make other disciples. And every one of us, so, you know, that has to be a big part of our legacy, is to pass on our values, pass on the things we've been learning. Help others to, maybe those that are weaker or not as strong as you, to grow and to be established. You know, I was just reading in Mark 4 the other day, and, you know, Satan comes immediately to steal the word. And you got to have those that are weak need people around them to shepherd, and they may not be called pastor, but they need people in their lives to kind of help them through different parts to make it, you know, so those roots can be established, so they can stand on their own 2 feet. Paul was big about passing things on. Let's look at 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. Verse 1 says, Timothy, Timothy, my dear son. Oh, don't you love that? Be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. I was also reading this in the Gospels. And one of the disciples came to Jesus and was saying, your mother and your brothers are out here wanting to talk to you. And he blows them off and says, you know, this is my mother and these are my brothers, talking about his disciples. I mean, how would that go over at your house? Susie's birthday today, you have permission to blow Susie off today and be with your disciples. No, don't do that. You couldn't do that to Susie, could you? But Paul looked at Timothy as, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. You have heard me teach these things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who are able to pass them on to others. And that's, I guess, that's probably the best definition of legacy, is what you pass on. And when, you know, when it comes to the end, this life is short. It's a vapor. You know, I'm thinking about Shirley and, you know, others. What kind of a legacy? What did they pass on? So I got some final thoughts here, and I know one of these thoughts are going to challenge you, hopefully, if you're open today. First one is, some of you may be thinking, it's too late for me to leave a legacy. It's too late. I've made too many mistakes, too many errors. I mean, how many times I've talked and counseled with people, they felt like they've committed the unpardonable sin and had to talk them through that, because the devil just torments you and beat you up with that. And so he wants to make you feel like, you know, you can't change. This is just my destiny. You know, just make it to until heaven, but for my time on earth, it's just going to be miserable. Well, I got something encouraging to tell you. Peter, the Apostle Peter. I'm training to be a life coach, and so we've been going through different scriptures about things, and one of the things that they're teaching us is how messed up the disciples were. As a way of giving you hope for people that you're working with, that they can truly be changed and truly move forward, because these were some messed up folks. And they needed that time before the day of Pentecost to get things straight in the upper room. They were working out a lot of things. Holy Spirit was helping them. They didn't get them all worked out, but some of them. Peter cut off the servant's ear in the garden. Now, what was he attempting to do when he did that? Was he trying to cut his ear off? Or split the guy's head open? I think Peter was in such a rage, he was going to kill him. Jesus got him out of that deal. Then he denied Jesus publicly three times, one time to girls. Now, I mean, for a man, that's, Frank, you know what I'm talking about? That's pretty low. You know what I'm saying? Your leader, all that he did for Peter, all they've been through, and he denies him three times. And Jesus told him it was going to happen, and Peter denied that. Then after all the miracles and all they've been through, Peter goes back to fishing. Leaves the ministry and goes back to fishing. And so today, I just want to encourage you, if you feel like your life is over, study the life of Peter. And I want to encourage you today, all things are possible. And God can change things. And he can do miracles, and he wants to do them for you. So stop believing those lies. Stop with your pity party. And start opening yourself to God, because God can use you. I don't care what age or where you're at, he can use you. Now the second one here is, some people here may be dealing with addictions. Drug or alcohol. Anger, pornography, depression, marriage issues. Should I continue with the list? And if that's you today, I just want to tell you this. You're not helpless, and you're not hopeless. There is help available. First of all, there's the power of God. I was delivered from alcohol abuse at 19 when I was saved. Now, I don't understand all that, why that happened there, why it happened for me and not for others. So I had that happen to me, but I do know that in my marriage, I went to 2 years weekly marriage counseling, went to another private counselor, and I was on medication for depression. This is your pastor, Mr. Man of Faith and Power. And so there's been times in my life where I needed help. I can't explain it. Now, while I was getting help from others, I was using my faith. And I had a network of faith friends. And certainly in the Word and prayer and doing all I knew to do. But there's help available. And so this is a great time to make a change. And if you don't know what to do, go find one of your faith friends or someone you respect and talk to them about it and see if they can get you some help or point you in the right direction. But the devil will just lie to you again. Well, there's no help for you. You're a different kind of circumstance. Your situation, there's help available. And I just want to encourage you, I just want to give you a good nudge. Go get help. And you know, live by faith and go to the Word and pray and come to church. But there's help available. Now, this next one, I'm just going to look up here, okay? Never put your back to the audience. But there's others that are just kind of fooling around with life. You know better. And I guess the question I want to ask you is this the kind of legacy you want to leave? I kind of want to cuss right now, you know. I'll just say half-hearted. Kind of half-hearted. Kind of playing around. Is that the kind of legacy you want to leave? Is that what you want to be known for? Well, on his tombstone, he lived a half-hearted life. We know better. This isn't you. Get back in the game. Get back into church. Come on, what's happened with some of you at church? You're just drawn back. That's an indicator of things. Get back in the game. Get back into prayer. Get back into the Word. Get back to being a witness. Susie, is this too much? It's your birthday. Get back into pouring your life into others. Now, this next one is, some maybe you've come from just a horrible family situation. Family of ruin and destruction and really just bad fruit. You're the one that's going to break the pattern. And I know that's not always easy to be the pioneer or to be the leader, but God's going to empower you to lead the way and break that pattern and turn the tree around to start bearing good fruit. So I just want to encourage you today. If that's you, continue walking that path. God's going to help you. He's going to bring mentors and coaches and people in your life to encourage you. Because he needs you to change and break the pattern. One of the most important disciples are our children. And our grandchildren. Look at Deuteronomy 11. Let's put that up here. I'm going to read this from the Message. Place these words on your hearts. Get them deep inside you. Tie them on your hands and foreheads as a reminder. Teach them to your children. Talk to them about them wherever you are, sitting at home or walking in the street. Talk about them from the time you get up in the morning until you fall into bed at night. Inscribe them on the doorposts and gates of your cities so that you'll live a long time and your children with you on the soil that God promised to give your ancestors for as long as there is a sky over the earth. And so you talk about our children and our grandchildren. Where does it start? It starts with prayer. You got to be praying because you may be the only one praying for them. They may or may not be in your household. But it starts with prayer. It starts with confession. God's word. I know even our kids when young, I mean, confessing the word over them as babies, speaking the word. But the best way you can disciple your kids, your grandkids, is not to preach at them. One of the best things you can do is, first of all, live it. Don't be telling them things that you don't do. You haven't tried, but they need to do it. That's that they're going to see through that. So one of the best things you can do is live for Jesus. But then along the way, as these moments come along, teachable moments that they're called, you share about what the Lord's been teaching you or maybe asking them what the Lord's talking to them about. I mean, every time we have sermons, because there's a time for discussion, what'd you think of that? Or what happened at youth camp, or, you know, there's these times to teach and to share and to talk about things of God. Now, we have no problem talking about football. We got no problem talking about fishing or a TV show or all these other different topics. Why can't we talk about God? Shouldn't it be easy? One of the most important things in our lives, we should be able to talk about Jesus with our families. And again, if it's not a lecture or someone preaching at you, and this is what you need to do, it's just an openness, and they'll not even realize what we're doing here. We're talking about faith. We're talking about things of God. And so, talk about legacy. You know, kids and grandkids, man, that's big. It's big in the scriptures. It's a big deal. Now, if you made mistakes in this area, join the club. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you and guide you. And he'll give you a plan with each child. And if you need to, and you feel like there's other people that have been more successful at this, passing values on, go talk to them. Learn from them. Now, I think this is the last one here. Maybe. Be open to those relationships where you have a chance to mentor, coach, and disciple. And if you are truly a disciple of Jesus and you're following God, he's going to give you opportunities to mentor and to coach and disciple others. And it doesn't have to be a regimented going through the scriptures or a certain book, but he's going to bring people in your life and give you opportunities. You know, the counselors didn't realize it, but I mean, you had an opportunity in the woods to make disciples. Exactly what you did there is what you want to do in your life. Now, I know that's a more conducive environment, you know, from what I hear. But that's exactly what we're doing. We're passing on the things we're learning to others. And it's biblical, goes back to the Old Testament, New Testament, ministry of Jesus, Apostle Paul, all the different disciples. It's about passing things on. And it's not glamorous like, you know, TV ministry or preaching at a crusade or preaching on Sunday morning, because a lot of people will call this discipleship. It's really a small part of it. But the West especially has made this discipleship and then thrown away the relationship part. But scripturally, it's the relationships were the big deal. And you may have more fruit from one relationship than you would to preaching to thousands. And that's just hard math to figure out. But it's just, you know, in the way God does things, influencing one or two is important. And so I'm thinking about all of this. I mean, a lot of it had to do with youth camp. Did you know, I think it's 85% of kids, people, are saved before the age of 14. Then it goes up to 90 before the age of 19. And then that means that all the rest from 19 on is like 10%. I mean, different numbers, but that's about right. 10% from 19 on that are saved. Do you realize the opportunity, how important is a youth camp is? I mean, we talk at our executive team meetings about our children's ministry. You come to Good News Church as a kid, you're going to be saved. I'm not going to make you do it, but you're going to get saved, and you're going to get filled with the Holy Spirit. It's just inevitable. We got about 100% success rate if someone's going to come. And even if they only come one time. Grayson was talking about that, about just about every person. We expect that, every person to be filled with the Spirit. We need people right now to realize the importance of making disciples and of being a discipler. And here's the struggle, I think, is we just feel like our life is so messed up. How can I possibly impart that to someone else? And see, that's the whole thing about it. And you go back to the disciples, well, I want to share some of that. They were messed up people. Everybody's broken. Now, it's not an excuse for your behavior, but everybody's broken to some degree. Some just manifested in a greater measure. But the key to Christianity is in the middle of your brokenness, you reach out to others, and it helps you through your deal. If you can give and impart, even when everything's not going right in your life, I mean, that's an amazing thing. That's love. That's trust. That's faith in God. That's to talk about planting seed. So let's just all really be thinking about that as we kind of move forward. I think we're at a really important time of this church. We're at, I think, going on 22 years. And you can just really get comfortable in kind of the things that you're doing and where you're going. I mean, I've been pastoring 21 years. I mean, I really, if I want to just get by, I can just, I mean, I'm getting a salary most of the time. But I can really kind of just do this in my sleep. I've been doing it a long time. I could just really just go through the motions and you wouldn't even know it. I can fake it. During that time, I was doing depression, going on 9 months of depression until Susie kind of slapped me around and started making some changes. 9 months of depression, and I preached every Sunday. People saved, people healed. But I feel like we're at a real crossroads, and we're going to be having some strategy meetings and some leadership meetings because I feel like we're ready for some changes, some major changes. And I want you to be praying for us. And it all has to do with discipleship and being able to minister to more people effectively and raise up stronger believers and all of that. But it's hard because we just want to get comfortable. We don't want to make changes. But in order to grow, you have to change. And the whole thing about the Bible is about transformation. I don't want transformation to only be in Hollywood. You know what I'm talking about? You see these movies of these people that have these totally messed up lives, and by the end of the movie, they've been transformed. It has nothing to do with God. But they had these amazing transformation, and their life is so much better, and they just ride off into the sunset. And then we have just a whole lot of believers that actually have the power of God, and we feel like we're helpless. We can't change. The Bible is all about it. And it's not always easy. We need each other. But I do know this about transformation. You've got to want it. You've got to want it. It's not just going to happen to you. I wasn't delivered of alcohol just because I was just sitting there and, you know, I'm a good person. I wanted it. I wanted changes in my marriage. I wanted changes in different other areas. And I still have a lot of growing to do, a lot of changes to make. Work in progress. First of all, I'm wrap up with the sermon part. First of all, I got to deal with this before I can move on to the next thing I felt the Lord showing me to do. First thing is, if you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, today's the day. I mean, you need Jesus. He came to save us. He came to deliver us. And it's never going to be a perfect life, but I'm telling you, life in God, I mean, how can you describe it as compared to life without God? And so you need Jesus. And it's not complicated. You just call upon his name. Say, Lord, I mean, I've done everything I know to do to myself, and it's just total messed up here. I need you. Come into my life and change me. And the Bible talks about being born again and being changed. And you enter into God's family. You actually become one of his sons and daughters. And this inheritance that is given that he has for you in heaven, but also in this earth. And then you begin to start moving towards your divine destiny. He's got this amazing plan for you, but you're never going to find it without God. So that's the first thing. Maybe someone watching by live streaming or someone that's sitting here today is pray this prayer with me. And it just seems almost too easy. But you can never do anything to clean your life up or earn this salvation. It's by faith. It's believing and confessing, Romans talks about. Believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Confess Jesus as your Lord. The Bible says you'll be saved. So let's all pray this together, those watching by live streaming. If this is your first time praying this, let us know. Say this, say, Father in heaven, I open my heart to you. I draw near to you. I believe you raised Jesus from the dead. I confess Jesus as my Lord. And now, therefore, according to your word, I'm born again. I'm a new creation. Heaven is my eternal home. And abundant life is my destiny here on the earth. Show me your plan for my life, in Jesus' name.